This is HPR episode 2320 entitled, Living Computers, Museum Plus Labs. It is hosted by JWP and is about 16 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, free shell accounts on old computers with old programming lands.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Good day. My name is JWP, and I'm here today to talk to you about the Living Computers Museum and Labs. Okay, so it's LCM plus L. It's a computer and technology museum located in the SoDo neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. The LCM plus L showcases vintage computers which provide interactive sessions, either through time sharing, operating systems, or single user interfaces. This gives users a chance to actually use one of the computers online or in person at the museum. An expansion of add-ons such as direct touch experiences with contemporary technology such as virtual reality or self-driving cars, Internet of Things, and robotics is also available. This puts today's computer technology in the context of how it's being used to tackle real-world issues. LCM plus L also hosts a wide range of educational programs and events in their state-of-art classroom and lab spaces. So according to LCM plus L's website, their goal is to breathe back into our machines so the public can experience what it was like to see them, hear them, and interact with them. We make our systems accessible by allowing people to come and interact with them and by making them accessible over the internet. And so that's what I did. I went there, and I have been a long time SDF user. SDF is a NetBSD thing you log into, and they connected a bunch of older systems together, and it makes sort of a little network. I have a little website there, and I do some typing and some nano there, and maintain an email address there, and just some basic stuff that you can do with NetBSD. And it's really my only BSD experience right now is with SDF. Well, they mentioned that one of their older Unix computers they donated to this place. And so I was like, what is it? And so they donated their old Bell Labs Western Electric system there. It's an old 32-bit Western Electric chip, and it's really slow. It's only got 16 megabytes of RAM, and so you're sort of limited. It has what they were using it for was a BBS, and museum kept the BBS portion, so you can play like little old-fashioned arcade games. You can request an email, but that email isn't anything like a modern email. It's a more or less like a Usenet email off of that system. But what it's really interesting for is it uses the last version of the pure AT&T Unix. So so if you're like learning Linux commands and you don't want to have like any BSD variants in there or anything, it's the purest that you're going to get is right there on that old AT&T box. And they also have like a whole lot of others. I did a I've been an Open VMS fan, and the Death Row VMS network went offline a couple of years ago. The Beav, I think, switched jobs, and they weren't going to let him host those old Alpha servers anymore, so he couldn't maintain the Open VMS anymore. But this place has an Open VMS, so if you want to mess around with Open VMS a little bit, see what it was like. And interestingly, you can type in anything you want to do into Google, and the HP manuals for VMS will come right up, and you can type in the commands you want. So, again, it is a museum, so it's not like really quick to get any kind of support or anything, but you can request accounts on the system that you want. So I requested one on the Western Electric account with the AT&T Unix 5 on it, and I also requested account on the OpenVMS, but they have a bunch of other things. They have some original Apple boxes, an Atari box, a Commodore box, a comp some things from Compaq. I've never heard of it. A Cormenco, a Data General. I already talked about the DEC stuff. They have some Dell, some early Dell servers. They have some stuff from IBM and IMSAA, Innodata, and they have MIT's and Microsoft, the Next, and Osborne, Processor Technologies, some stuff from Radio Shack, Sun, Tandy, Teletype Corporation, Texas Instruments, and Xerox. So all of that is there. And the ones that they have for via Exhibitions right now are the Control Data Corporation, the Digital Equipment, IBM, Vulcan, and XKL. Available through Telenet is Digital Equipment Corporation, Xerox, something called XKL, and Control Data Corporation. And they're redoing right now a Bendix Corporation computer and a Control Data Corporation computer, as well as several IDMs. So interestingly, you can get several programming languages there, and they have several other systems also available, and you can play a lot of games there. So the programming languages, and they are, I mean, it's sort of hard sometimes to find them. So they have the old PDP systems. So it's, PDP is sort of what digital started everything with. And they use a thing called Marco, so MACRO, and so that's available for you to use. They have a language called JCL, and JCL is pretty interesting in the fact that it's the job control language. It's a scripting language, and it's used on the mainframe to instruct the system how to run a batch job or start a subsystem. There are two distinct IBM job control languages, and one is the operating system lineage that begins with DOS/360, whose latest member is Z/VSE, and the other is OS/360 or ZOS, the latter using JES extensions for job control language. And they use the same basic Sinex rules, so you get it. But that's available there at the museum for you to try out and learn. They have an APL language, and APL is it's not to be confused with the address programming language. The named after the book A Programming Language. So it's a programming language developed in the 60s by Kenneth E. Iverson, and its central data type is the multidimensional array. It uses large range of special graphic symbols to represent most functions and operators, leading to a very concise code. And it's been an important influence in the development of concept modeling and spreadsheets and functional programming and computer packages. It's also inspired several other languages and is still used today but in certain applications. So that's available. They have a C, in it, but it's a very old C. So it's like a really pure, and I want to say ANSI C, but I don't know if it's an ANSI C or not. You know, ANSI C is the made by the standard agency, but C is really the letter C, and it's a general purpose interoperative computer programming language, supporting structured programming and lexical variable scope and recursion, while a static type system prevents many unattended operations. By design, C constructs a map of efficiently to type typical machine instructions. Therefore, it has found the lasting use in applications that had formerly been coded in assembly language, including operating systems, as well as various application software for computers, ranging from supercomputers to embedded. Of course, C was developed by Dennis Ritchie between 69 and 73 at Bell Labs, and is used to re-implement Unix operating systems. It has since become one of the most widely used programming languages of all time, and with C compilers from various vendors available, the majority of existing computer architectures and operating systems, C has been standardized by the American National Standards Institute, ANSI, since 1989, C ANSI C, and is subsequently by the International Standards Organization, ISO. So if you're looking for a C compiler, you can find it at the museum and you can start programming there with one of the online accounts. They have Lisp, Basic, COBOL, Fortran. So all of those are pretty old. I mean, I know that in Germany there's a lot of demand for, if you know COBOL right now, that you can get a job, and you could learn it right there for free at the museum webpage. And they have something called SH, and I'm not extremely familiar with SH, but it comes up when you it's a Born shell. And they call it a computer language for some reason, and Born Shell is on everything. So Born Shell was the default version for version 7 Unix. And like most systems, they continue to have a bin slash sh will be the Born Shell. And so that's really what it is. So it's a shell or a command line interpreter for computer operating systems. And I don't know why they put that in as an operating system. And then the last thing, I mean, Dave Morris will love this because they have AWK or AWK. And for those of you that don't know it, Dave did an interesting talk about the AWK language. And it's so AWK is a programming language designed for text processing and typically used as a data extraction reporting tool. And so you can do a lot of stuff with that. And Dave has done several podcasts on HPR about the AWK programming language. And so that's available there. Notably missing is Java or anything normal. Okay, and so the list of operating systems is TOPS 10, TOPS 20, OpenVMS, Unix version 7, CP-V. I don't know what CP-V is, so we'll have a look. The CP-V is based on the Universal Time Sharing System. So CP-V is pronounced CP-V operating system. It's successor to UTS, and was released in August of 73. CPV supported the same CPUs as UTS plus the Xerox. So it's a Xerox 560. CPV offered a single stream and multi-programmable batch. So that's it's off the Xerox machine that they have. And so they have Unix SRVR3, BSD 4.3, and NOS 1.3. I don't know what NOS is, so we'll go through that same process again. So NOS is a network operating system used with time sharing capabilities, and it was written by a Control Data Corporation in the 1970s. So that goes with the Control Data guys. They have a lot of games that you can play there, and a lot of games that you can play there. Now, what I don't know is if all of them are on the, they have an Xbox One. So I think these are, most of these are at the thing. So you can play all the old Atari games, the TI-99. I can't have thought about a TI-99 in a long time. TSR-80, the Atari 400, the Osborne Executive, the Commodore 64, the Apple II, Amiga 500, the Atari 10. I used to own one of these, a 1040 ST. It had the best keyboard any computer I ever owned. That's really it. They seem to be doing quite well. Paul Allen gave them some money on 2006, and he was able to start that. And so that's why they have all these great great old computers. And I was really glad that that old AT&T box didn't get thrown away after SDF didn't need it anymore. All right. Well, this is JWP, and I'm reachable at jwp5@hotmail.com. Please drop me a note if you need anything. Y'all have a great, fantastic day. I hope your Memorial Day was absolutely fantastic. And we'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.